This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason and Sam, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Oh, yeah. Oh yes. Unbelievable.
R.J. Hunter for three. Goal! Ron Hunter has fallen off his stool for good reason. Georgia State up by one.
Collins driving, almost lost the handle. Chalmers for the tie. Got it! 10 seconds. Unbelievable.
The clock's going to run out. The ultimate upset has happened. A 16 has beaten a 1. UMBC knocks off Virginia.
3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
KU not fouling. Love fades, shoots. He misses. He misses. And Kansas will win. It's a bad year for Kansas basketball.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't do that. He threw it away. He put this.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yes, indeed. It is, in fact, March. The madness has arrived. And the zone knows ball.
Woo!
We will talk about Kansas. We will talk about Missouri. We will talk about Missouri's path to the Sweet 16. We're going to cover all of those things today and all of the detail they deserve. Plus, the Chiefs news continues to roll on. We were only able to scratch the surface of that yesterday. We have an entire elimination day of the bracket of sound. We had to say goodbye to a lot of our favorite pieces of audio. But nothing in this show could ever... The Chiefs could sign Odell Beckham Jr. right now. And we would not be able to turn our view away from our Paladins, baby! Not one, not two, but all three members of the zone. I checked our brackets. Furman over Virginia. The Cavaliers go down again. It is a, I admit this, bizarre place for us to find as much joy as we do. But there is, it's a tradition unlike any other at this point. Preying on Virginia's downfall has historically been good for business. You heard in the intro, 2018, they fall to 16 seed UMBC. 2019, they win the national championship. Wow, Virginia's back. No tournament in 2020. 2021, they lose in the first round of the 13 seed Ohio, and then yesterday, dropping to the 13 seed Furman Paladins. Beards and I, and several other members of the 810 crew, but for this story, the purpose of this story and this show right now, Beards and I, we're all out at Atomic Cowboy yesterday, where we did our remote from, and I could never thank Atomic Cowboy enough for hosting us the way that they do.
Can now confirm, pizza is also good.
Pizza's also really good! Denver Biscuit Company, Fat Sully's, shout out one more time. Free shout out for Atomic Cowboy today, because I love them. But we were out there in kind of their like outdoor patio area with their TVs up and everything, and... I'm kind of a college sports nomad a little bit, because I went to Mid-America Nazarene in Olathe, NAIA school. My parents went to Wichita State, not in the tournament right now. No football team, obviously. And then now up here in Kansas City media, I genuinely am rooting for KU, K-State, and Missouri all to advance. Not because not for any like cynical, like, you know, I just want to have even just more stuff to talk about. I want more people to be happy when available. And I've got friends and family with all of those different allegiances, as I'm sure everyone who lives in the area does. But with all of that being said, I don't know that I can remember the last time I threw my arms to the sky and held them there for a college basketball game like I did during that highlight. Which, by the way, not that there was ever a doubt, but Kevin Harlan was put on this earth for that moment. Beards, this is totally unfair from a production standpoint because I do not know if you have it. Do you have the clean cut of just that highlight saved anywhere?
I can pull it up real quick, yeah.
Pull it up when you get a second. I would just listen to it again, and frankly, I would listen to it forever. But there's so much crowd noise, and we have the intro music and you know, all of that coming together. If you have not gotten to hear the cleanest possible cut of Harlan making that call, it's just perfect sports radio. Not, you know, sports talk radio, but perfect sports audio, I suppose. It's on television, so, you know. Perfect play-by-play for a perfect March Madness moment. Listen to Kevin Harlan stick the landing on this sucker, and then we'll talk about Missouri, KU, K-State plays tonight, Chiefs news all over, but nothing can truly be better than this, right?
Clark in a straight jacket. He didn't need to do that! He threw it away! Ping! Pagese! Furman leads! Timeout, Virginia! Did we just see what we think we just saw?
His wow! It needs to receive the amount of broadcaster credit that some of the other great one-liners go. The underrated part about that sound that I did not notice until this time is that you hear the ball go through. Did you hear that? That thunk? That's madness, baby. Ugh! What an opening day!
Oh, also, Arizona lost.
So let's talk about that region first. Because KU had some interesting stuff, but ultimately they got past the 16 seed. Arkansas will certainly be a fascinating game. But truly, Mizzou deserves this. And even more so, Mizzou fans deserve this. Mizzou, I hear you. I see you. Let's talk about it. Beating Utah State and a Utah State team that I can't remember if they ended up getting 1-3 in the first half, but I know it wasn't more than that. I think that they may have been 3-pointless through the entire first half of that game. They may have hit one late in the half. These are the details that occasionally get lost when you are watching like four games at once, and I would have it no other way. And also, a perfect way to watch college basketball. We all know this already. But man, the tournament is so good at just giving you the last 6 minutes of game after game after game as the day goes on. It is sporting paradise. But Missouri, with some time to bite your nails, and then by the end, they looked like they were, you know, it wasn't a buzzer beater. They were in relative control as the game was winding down. Some of the comments from Dennis Gates after the game were so good. We might bring a couple of those clips throughout the show as well. I have to imagine the Border Patrol did a pretty good job of covering a lot of those. I trust them on that one. But for Missouri, not only to get the win, when we were talking about it when we had our time yesterday, chatting about it with Mick, who will join us at 1. Matt Derrick will be in studio, Chiefs Digest. He'll join us at 11. We'll talk about a ton of Chiefs stuff with him. And then at noon, we're going to go through our eliminated pieces of sound from the bracketology, the bracket of sound. We'll cut some of those in the noon hour and let you know what teams we sadly had to say goodbye to. When we were talking about it yesterday, there was this feeling of, man, this team's on the right track. Man, this year is at least 1 year ahead And really, it could have been multiple years ahead. If Mizzou would have just put together a season with ups and downs, but optimism, some strong high notes you could really hang your hat on, a head coach and Dennis Gates you could believe in, just a stabilizing force and a belief for the future, and then maybe they make a little run in the NIT. Every Mizzou fan I know would have taken that before this season, and they wouldn't have thought about it twice. And yet, as the season goes on and you build your expectations up a little bit, your expectations evolve. And so by the time Mizzou gets to their game yesterday, they're a higher seed than Utah State, but I don't think Utah State was ever not favored. It opened at 2 or 2.5, got down to Utah State -1 yesterday. I don't think it ever wavered below that. Even in a total, you know, basically a pick'em game on a college basketball scale, all of these teams between, I really will say, like, the difference between your average 4 seed and your average 13 seed, if one team's having a better day, you get to play the Kevin Harlan sound for the rest of time. Because college basketball is always so close, styles can vary, and execution is not a consistent thing. The best players don't always make the best plays. The best individual players don't always have the right matchups for a, you know, a team that's been playing together for years, and all of a sudden you get your upsets, right? We will talk about Princeton and Arizona and what's next for Missouri here in just a second. It's all leading up to this path, Tiger v. Tiger. But if Missouri would have just swapped places with Utah State in that game, they just couldn't find their buckets, just a little bit, clearly just not the better team that day, it would have been a deflating way to end a year that had been borderline magical by recent Mizzou basketball standards. And they beat Utah State. Ugh, what a game. What an achievement. Breaking the curse. You got Arizona next, but that's something you can worry. That can be something that tomorrow Mizzou fan worries about. Because there is, I know the coaching staffs probably have to toe the line on this. Also, something that Dennis Gates talked about after the game. But you can't linger on it for too long because you do not have very much time before you have to play again the day after the game, or the day after tomorrow, the day of the game. In this case, now tomorrow. You can't dilly-dally and just, oh, yes, we're going to take our... This isn't a AFC or NFC championship game where you have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So I get that. But if you're a Mizzou fan, you don't have to do any scouting for Arizona. Certainly Arizona, right? You don't have to move on too fast. And I was hoping that every Mizzou fan would soak up every bit of dopamine that they had been waiting on from their basketball team yesterday. Because that win over Utah State was impressive. This program is legitimate. Dennis Gates is a dude. And man, the future's bright. And this, sorry, what happened to Arizona? Excuse me? What's the score against Princeton right now? And then the sounds of an entire state grabbing their clicker and making sure they've got True TV or TNT or whichever one it's on right now. By the way, hilariously in here, Mythbusters is on True TV right now.
Oh, I know. I've got it on.
I'm not changing it.
No.
Mythbusters
is great.
There are a few things that I would rather watch while waiting for college basketball than Mythbusters. It's a perfect lead-in programming. But then Princeton pulls it off. And now, no matter what happens tomorrow, it's going to be Mizzou perfect. Capital M, capital P. Okay, this is a noun now. Mizzou perfect. It's like dude perfect, but with stripes. No. Either, I don't say this to predict the schadenfreude. I really hope Missouri wins this game. But either the Missouri Tigers are going to the Sweet 16, which doesn't just mean getting to the Sweet 16, but it does. And holy bleep. End of sentence. But it also means during those next, whatever, 4 or 5 days, without, or 3 or 4 days, whatever it will be, the time between the weekend games and the start of the Sweet 16, I'm scrolling through the seeds. I mean, there are other teams who could potentially advance and be a lower-seeded team getting as far as Mizzou, but you could be the story of the tournament for that 3 or 4 day span between action. It is, wow. Not maybe it's, can Mizzou get past, you know, Baylor and Alabama or whatever it might be, right? It can be a tiny bit of that. But the way college basketball goes this time of year, people love the underdogs. People love the Cinderella storylines. That's what we're all watching for. I feel bad whenever they cut over to the sidelines and it's, you know, even for Virginia Beards, I hate to admit it, but when they, not for Virginia the program, but for the individual players and the guys whose college careers end in heartbreaking fashion, Virginia, Arizona, all the teams that get those high-seeded upsets, I do feel bad for the guys whose tournament runs ended way, way sooner than they were expecting. But none of us are rooting for them. Unless you're really invested in your bracket, or you're really invested up in DraftKings, we're all pulling for the underdog, or at least the team with better vibes, which is almost always the underdog. So if Missouri does in fact advance to the Sweet 16, they're going to be the darling. It's, and again, not even just like, oh, well, let's really kind of, let's see how far they can go, or man, is this Mizzou team for real? It's not going to be that. It's going to be, wow. Do you guys remember the last time on a national stage we were hearing Missouri discussed? Seriously? It's been a really long time. Missouri has a chance to revel in the turnaround. To be on a pedestal amongst potentially 15 other less interesting stories, less excellent turnarounds. If they get past Princeton, it would be stupendous. And there's a decent chance that 3 out of 16 teams in the Sweet 16, I'm looking way ahead right now. I know K-State fans are probably the most angry at this right now because they haven't even gotten step one yet. I get you. But 3 out of those 16 could all be local to us here in Kansas City. We could have KU, K-State, and Mizzou. I don't know what the math is there, because 3 out of 12 would be 25%, right? So, less than that. Be 3 out of... I'm not going to do the math on the air. It's going to be bad for everybody, myself included, especially when I get an embarrassingly wrong result. Beards, I was kind of hoping you would divide 16 by 3 for me. Whoop, nope, 3 by 16.
Not a fun number.
3 by 16, hold on.
3 by 16?
18%, basically. Not, almost 19%.
Yeah.
Almost 19% of the Sweet 16 could be from around here. That would rule. But Missouri in particular clearly had the hardest path to get there before Arizona lost. And now it all feels like it's all right out there in front of you. So again, if you're a Missouri fan, there's nothing else you could ask for. You have made the tournament in your first year at Dennis Gates. You won a tournament game. And now you've got a path through a 15 seed to get to the Sweet 16. Ugh. Don't let the next thing that I say take away from how good you should feel right now. Because this should be an amazing time for Missouri fans. However, here's why I tweeted last night that I think regardless of what happens next, it's going to be perfect. And I don't mean fun, but I mean on brand. Mizzou perfect. Either Missouri's going to the Sweet 16, or they're losing to a 15 seed. And no matter what, I know that Mizzou Twitter is going to be ready for that moment. I have said this before, and I'm going to admit it again here now. Of the local schools, Mizzou Twitter is my favorite Twitter fan base. If Mizzou Twitter, KU Twitter, and K-State Twitter all had a fight, I would want to hang out with them with Mizzou Twitter. I think they're the best at being self-deprecating, maybe. That might be what appeals to me. I'm not sure. And Mizzou could lose to Princeton by 20 points, and I do not think it would genuinely taint this season. But you couldn't have asked for a better turn of events. And so I imagine, and Matt Derrick will be the first person we can ask about it on air. I told him we would talk just nothing but Mizzou with him, even if the Chiefs signed Odell Beckham Jr. before he gets in here. But I have to think Mizzou fans have a little bit of tension right now. And maybe not. If you're free, if you're just freewheeling right now, bless you. You should enjoy it. But I wonder if there's just a little bit of that pang of, oh, this is perfect. As long as we don't blow it. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't bet on Mizzou blowing it. The crazy thing about Princeton, Arizona, and I think Myron Metcalf may have been the guy who was on this first. I should pull up his tweet. I'm giving him credit anyway because, you know, we'll talk to him hopefully on Tuesday about all of this. The crazy thing with Princeton is that it's not like that game was in the 70s or 80s where it's just, hey, you get a hot shooting team, somebody, some underdog seed has a great three-point shooter who's just on fire. You get a couple of guys just raining them in, and that's how upsets happen. Princeton won that game 59-55. That game was played at the pace of a screeching halt. And I'll be fascinated to see how that jives with how Mizzou likes to run. But I'm not looking at Princeton necessarily as some team with any overwhelming element you've got to be terrified of. Which, again, maybe confidence is an increasingly scary thing for Missouri fans. Maybe you don't want me to say all this. But Mizzou opened as a bigger favorite than KU did in round two. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I noted that last night. Kansas is a narrower favorite over Arkansas than Missouri is over Princeton. At least that's how they opened last night. What an amazing place to be. I'm just tickled. I really am. KU and Howard is obviously, there's not quite as much meat on the bone there, even though it was a little scary early on. Howard hung around for the first 15 minutes or so of that first half. Beards was a little bit nervous. It was close.
And then Grady Dick showed up.
By the way, there was a really good story on Grady Dick and the Dick family on The Athletic. C.J. Moore had a really, really good piece about just him kind of being like a kind of a goofball. And I just said the phrase the Dick family, and like that's addressed in there. Everyone knows what their name is. There's no pretending that it's not become a recurring bit. And Grady knows as well, and he's fine with it. Charlie Hustle's got shirts that say big picture of Grady Dick energy. Everyone gets it. And it's a really good piece there if you want to read more about him. But then, yeah, so Grady Dick has an incredible game on the biggest stage so far. And it's, again, 116 first-round game and all of that. But he was aggressive. I'll loop you in here, Beards, because you were that one I was actually going to say, and that might have been an FCC violation, despite the fact that I really wasn't going to make it one on purpose.
Thank you.
Trying to keep you from having hit the dumb button.
That'd be great.
You were really riding the emotions of, oh man, is KU in the danger zone right now? And then Grady Dick came out, and it was. You, listen, man, I'm trying to talk about this basketball player, and I know his last name makes everybody laugh, but he was aggressive. He was at the rim. It was the boards. It was the putbacks.
Yeah, he was
everywhere.
Rebounds, putback dunks.
He looked. He looked 3 inches longer than usual, and that's not a joke. I mean, like he being at the rim, the length that he has that is going to make him such a fascinating NBA prospect.
This you
is
could serious. Tell he was 6'8".
Right. That is a much less phallic way of putting it. Thank you, Beards. This is a genuine attempt at analysis being derailed by the fact that we still have not grown up enough to get through it without acknowledging his name. But yes, that's exactly right. he was playing like he was 6'8". And he's done that before. I'm not, this isn't like the first time he's looked tall.
It's been the first time in a while.
But it's been the first time in a little bit. And man, what a good time to do it. Because if that is a recurring part of what he can do in this tournament, presuming that that KU does get past Arkansas and continue to have a tournament run where he has an opportunity to show that, that's going to be great for his draft stock. I saw Pablo Torre was tweeting because he predicted on Around the Horn. Every year he picks a 16 to beat a 1. And this year he picked Howard. And he was just tweeting about how Grady Dick was a menace. I can't really, he had a funnier way of actually putting it because he was something about the getting into the Weapon X program. It's brilliant. And so, Beards, I don't know if that makes you more optimistic about this version of Grady Dick being involved. I don't know if you're just saying, hey, you know, that he's going to earn that lottery pick slot. But KU having Grady Dick be able to do as much as he did yesterday,
that was a big help because for a while it's only been Jalen Wilson being able to initiate offense and finish.
Yeah. And to have other offensive generators, I'm just going to take that phrase and make it and just twist it that little bit. To have other guys who can create for you, again, I think we've known that Grady Dick has that option, that gear. He has shown it. But to see it like we did yesterday, hugely encouraging. Pablo Torre tweeted, Grady Dick is if Minkus from Boy Meets World entered the Weapon X program. A terror. I think these teams are fascinating. Meanwhile, K-State plays tonight, and I hope that that game isn't stressful for all my Wildcats out there. But then seeing where that region pans out and what K-State's path looks like, we get Kentucky and Providence first, and then we'll know who K-State and Montana State are fighting for the right to play. I also want to bring you at least one clip of K-State's press conferences yesterday because it's just a funny energy to bring into this game. But man, what a start to March Madness. And I'm really, really glad that we're going to be able to continue talking about Missouri and Kansas. And I feel awfully good about our chances of being able to continue talking about Kansas State beyond the weekend as well. I hope we get to come in here on Monday and talk about a Sweet 16 that's 18.75% local teams. It'd be a blast. It's March Madness, obviously. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all who are wearing green and celebrating.
Or just who are wearing Chiefs apparel.
I don't think that's how that works.
St. Patrick's Day.
An interesting loophole. I told Beards, I almost texted him this morning. A little warning to let him know. I've got my pinching fingers out today. I've got green socks and my green Charlie Hustle shirt and my green Kansas City Athletics hat. I am protected against pinching power. And Beard showed up in all gray and a grout fit. Some jeans, right? Probably some denim down there.
Yeah.
I can't see from where you're sitting now. I never know if you're wearing pants at all.
I mean, normally.
And so I've worn beards. The crab pinchers are here. But I'm not going to warn them when it's coming. I'm going to try to get a video. I'm going to come up and just pinch your cheeks like a grandma. Happy St. Patrick's Day! Anyway. Happy to be here with you. I'm Joshua Briscoe, by the way. That's Beards McFly. Jason Anderson is out until a couple days in the next week. He's not day-to-day. We know when he's going to be back. The injury report is not confused. We put him on IR, and we're going to have him back in a few more days from now. I did mention that we know ball. The zone knows ball because all of us had Furman over Virginia. I legit just can't remember. Did I mention the Arizona element of that?
No.
Jason didn't have them losing the national championship game. But they were going to be in it, in his bracket. Jason lost his champion in the first weekend. The first day. First day of the tournament, Jason lost his champion. But, as he pointed out on Twitter, never been happier. Because now they've got the juggernaut of the Princeton Tigers in front of them for Mizzou's path. And so actually, I think he might be trying to amend his brackets right now to just pick Mizzou to win the whole thing, which frankly, he should have just done from the start. It's March Madness on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and it's brought to you by Xfinity, Blue Chew, CBD American Shaman, First Federal Bank, JPA Roofing, and Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We'll take a break, come back, and talk a little more ball here in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Friends who bleep on Virginia together stay together.
Exactly.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Drake just came in and said he heard today on ESPN, they have all of the brackets on ESPN.com. Did you hear the percentage beard that is still perfect?
No.
Do you want to take a guess at it? What percentage one day into the tournament?
I mean, probably, I don't expect many people had Virginia losing in the first round.
Three of us did!
Except for us smart people.
Woo! So there's at Zone knows ball.
So there's at least three, but then Arizona lost, and yeah. The wheel had that.
Yeah, I know that was
a lot
Princeton.
Of people had Arizona losing. Maybe like
30%? 1.4%.
What?!
Beers, you're so bad at guessing, man. You got to figure out why you're so bad at that. It's the Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Don't forget to go check yourself. You can't enter anymore now, obviously, because hopefully you already did, and now we're, you know, deep into the actual brackets. But the March Madness Bracket Challenge at 810WHB.com, presented by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and Hy-Vee. I've been poking around there and checking on the latest. I just want to give a couple just the quick update on what we're calling the VIPs leaderboard. These are the, you know, 810 on air folks who did one on the 810WHB.com bracket challenge. And because I set it up for her, I need to explain this bit as well. So, okay, hold on, I gotta go back.
Yep.
Sorry. Sometimes I forget there are new people here. We have a tradition that started on almost entirely sports back in the day. This started over on ESPN Kansas City. Back then, they had Dr. Professor involved, and there was all the Nintendo. That was a...
There's a deep rabbit hole of lore for this show.
I mean, it would literally be... We could take the next 3 hours and 20 minutes of airtime, and I don't think I would still be able to fully explain the whole path and the twists and turns of all that. But the relevant part to this story is that at this point, what, Beards, 5 years ago, probably?
It's been a while.
4 or 5 years ago. That's probably been five. We called my then 8-year-old sister, Chloe, and asked her to do some bracketology for us. Not because Chloe loves basketball or watches a lot of college basketball or anything, because I like talking to Chloe. And actually, back in the day, we had pictures of her in studio. You know what? It's been at least 5 years, because my mom sent me a screenshot of when she came in studio one time. So anyway, Chloe came in, and I would read her each matchup. Oh, man, Beards is cracking up at something.
So, I went back into the old AES podcast to see when the first date was, and I got this, mm-hmm. this gem.
Mm-hmm.
March 30th. 2018.
5 years ago.
This is the sentence. Joshua Briscoe and Beers McFly ride the wave as Dr. Professor and Chloe discuss their bracket results, and Renee and listener Keith get into the strangest beef in show history. But she picked her bracket on the 13th of that month.
Sure. They're discussing results at that point, I guess. Mm-hmm. We needed to get another check-in. That is hilarious. So this is the fifth year, then, that we've returned to Chloe Briscoe Bracketology, where I read her the school name and mascot name, don't give her the seed lines or any favorites or anything like that, and I just ask her who she likes to advance. And this year she has KU winning it all, which gives her a shot for sure. She always has the Terrapins going a long way because she loves reptiles. Had a lot of bird teams advancing deep this year. Florida Atlantic's the Owls. Creighton are the Blue Jays. They both advanced pretty deep in her bracket this year. And it's just always a really nice time. So we did it again this year, just in a podcast form, if you want to go over to the old but still alive Almost Entirely Sports podcast page. I posted it over there, like 15 or 20 minutes of me and Chloe going game by game, filling out the bracket. And so my real metric, I care significantly more about Chloe's bracket than I do about my own. Because if I win or lose or whatever, it doesn't really matter. No one gives you credit when you win. Everybody gives you bleep when you lose. With that being said, I just checked. I am on the top of the VIP section right now, sharing the tie with Seren and Nate. My ranking is higher. I don't know why. If it's by alphabetical order or something, I don't deserve that. We're all up there with 12 points, though. That is what it is. That's not the point. It's fine. I do want to beat Beards and Jason, but I can't really control that anymore. Here's what I want to make sure that at least one person at this station knows about. In the VIP bracket of people here at 810, Chloe is not in last place after one day.
Who's she ahead of?
There's a sad, sad little bracket at the bottom called Marco BP.
Oh, no, Marco!
Marco Marquez, right now, after one day of tournament action, is losing to a 13-year-old who predominantly picked birds and owls. I hope her last birthday wasn't 14. I think she's still 13. I really only talk to Chloe when it's to create content. You know, we have a real sort of like professional relationship. I don't give her birthday presents. I send her talent fees, you know. I'm trying to get her endorsement deals. That's really all I have. So anyway, that's something that we'll keep an eye on as the tournament goes on. She's only 1 point behind the Drake and Lebo and the Jason right now. So if KU could win it all on behalf of Chloe's bracket, we could really see a bloodbath there where she could once again be a champion. Her final four was the Creighton Blue Jays, Florida Atlantic Owls, Miami Hurricanes, and Kansas Jayhawks. If you like the path of how she got there, again, that's in the old Almost Entirely Sports podcast feed. And it's a good time. Anyway, Beers, your bracket is not here because you're not a company man, and you really failed us and made this harder for me to look at. Did you suffer any grander losses yesterday than just
actually,
Arizona?
I was actually just looking to try and figure out. I think Arizona's the one that I had going the farthest so far.
Did you have them in the Final Four? Was
no,
that a, just
Sweet
elite?
16.
You had them going down in the Sweet 16?
Yep.
Who'd you have them losing to?
Baylor.
Look at you. All right, Baylor's still kicking.
I think that's the only one that's gone supposed to go really far that has lost so far, so I'm doing okay.
Can I get breaking news? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I really am. I apologize. Can I get the breaking news real quick? My mom says Chloe is still 13, so we're good. Back to your bracket.
But I think I'm okay so far. I had a couple like earlier upsets, but nothing major. They were going to go down like in the next round or something anyway, so I think I'm okay. I'm not great, but I'm okay.
I had Arizona losing to Alabama, so that's not ideal.
Like,
but
I had West Virginia making it to the next round, but then they were going to lose. Yeah. I had A&M making it, but they were going to lose.
Yeah, I'm with you on both of those. Look, here's the thing. As long as Mizzou or Princeton go on a run, you know.
I had Utah State and Arizona in that matchup, and they're obviously neither there.
Yep. Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's okay. There's no shame in that. I was looking for some upsets. I should have trusted my gut. I should have believed in Mizzou. Well, that's weird. That's the first time I've ever said that sentence. That's crazy.
But hey, all that matters, San Diego State versus Furman. Got it right. Got it right.
We should not go pick by pick, not only because it's bad radio, but because it will undercut the fact that we know ball. Because the only thing we knew was that Virginia was going to choke. And we nailed it. Madness, baby. We'll take a break. When we come back. Oh, yeah. No, you know what? Go ahead and turn off my mic now, actually.
I'm sorry.
Go and turn off my mic right now.
Oh, look, I turned his mic off. Now we can go to break on time.
You're in the zone.
You know, Cal makes Brad call him dad. Can't call him coach.
Really?
He makes him call him dad in practice.
That's kind of bleeped up.
That is,
I don't like that.
That's kind of weird.
With Jason Anderson.
Like, could you imagine Tyler Self calling Bill dad in practice?
No. I know plenty of KU fans that call him daddy, but that's different.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Breaking news, Beards. I need some breaking news. Report. New York Jets in touch with Odell Beckham Jr. They officially signed Alan Lazard today. I believe Aaron Rodgers said that the reports of his wish list were some form of bunk and or hooey.
Giving Zach Wilson a lot of weapons there.
I mean, look.
One more year. Let's see if he's actually good or not.
I don't know what we're going to do with this man.
I was going to say Josh Rosen, but that's probably too unrealistic at this point.
Was he a Jet at some point?
I don't think so, but I really...
Sure?
No. I could only say I don't think so because I don't think so. I'm not gonna look yet, Beards. You pull it up. Josh Rosen was drafted by the Cardinals. I think he was most recently a 49er.
That would be incorrect.
Okay, well, hold on. Pull up Pro Football Reference. Let me see how many of his teams
got
I can
Wikipedia
get.
Here.
He was, well, I don't know if that's gonna have like
his, this
if he was a practice
yeah,
squad or
this
whatever.
Practice squad.
Okay, so he was drafted by the Cardinals for sure.
Yep.
He was a 49er at some point.
He was, but not most recently.
Okay.
That was 3 years ago.
He was a Buccaneer most recently.
Nope, that was also 3 years ago.
But he was a Buccaneer.
He was.
Okay.
On the practice squad.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals.
Was he, hold on, I'm not done guessing yet. I'm going to play this game until the bitter end.
Well, you got a bunch of teams left.
Was he a Panther?
No.
Okay, I got one wrong. You can tell me the rest.
Arizona Cardinals, Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, okay, he played for them, actually.
49ers.
Okay.
Falcons.
Oh, forgot about that.
Browns.
Didn't know that happened.
Vikings.
Completely unaware of that. Lebo just pitched Beards. Hey, Lebo. Beards, go tell HR that... Go tell HR that Lebo just pinched
HR,
you.
HR, Lebo pinched me.
It was... HR was Lebo. That was the joke. For everyone who didn't have the visual on that one. I want to talk about the actual Chiefs stuff, including if Odell Beckham Jr. is a legitimate option, what they might do at wide receiver after Juju Smith-Schuster left for New England. The Chiefs have lost a lot of pieces. They've also added a couple of really interesting ones. We'll talk about all that and what's next with Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest next in the Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.